The Cheney family came from Three Springs, which is 10 miles east in the edge of Hart, Metcalf, and Barron counties. My grandfather was one of a fairly large family, 8 or 9 kids. And there were some who in the family who were related, but nobody knew exactly how they were related. One was Doc Cheney. Doc was a farmer. He owned thrashing machines. He owned a sawmill. He owned telephone exchanges. He had Skillet, who was his wife, Ophelia, and he had a bunch of kids. Doc, my father used to say Doc was his father's half-great uncle. So figure it out. I don't know how. But at any rate, Doc liked to take a nip, and Doc would order his whiskey from Brown, JTS Brown whiskey in Louisville, get it sent down on the LN by REA Express, and they'd send him a note, and he'd come into town and get the whiskey. And he walked to town. It's 10 miles, is all it is. And he walked in a kind of a side pace because he was in the habit of walking and looking up at his telephone lines. So he walked in that side pace to town, came in here at Atchler's Bank, and he didn't have any cash money himself, but Skillet had a little bank account from her, some relative that had gotten killed in the Spanish-American War. And he was in the habit of coming in here, writing a check on Skillet, and going over to the depot to pick up his whiskey. Came in one day, whiskey was over there waiting. Came in, and the clerk and the bank said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Cheney," said, "I can't take your check on Skillet, on Miss Ophelia anymore. She's asked me not to." "By Nettie," he said, that was his byword, "by Nettie, she can't treat me that way." But, you know, nothing to do. He turned around, side-paced on home, and sort of went through my grandfather's store, I'm told. And as he went through the store, "By Nettie, Tom," he said, "Skillet, stop my check. I'm going to go leave her." And my grandfather tried to reason with him, but didn't do any good. And he went on off over the hill, and Skillet was at home washing clothes in the dog trot of the house. Doc hit the dog trot, as he passed her washing, said, "Skillet, by Nettie, I'm going to leave you." He took on off and went to the barn, opened the barn doors, and went in the driveway of the barn. Skillet figured there was something amiss, and so she headed down to the barn to see what was going on. "Doc," she said, "what's the matter?" "Skillet, by Nettie, you know what's the matter. I went to get my whiskey, and you stopped my check. By Nettie, you can't treat me that way. I'm going to leave you." "Now, Doc," she said, "you've been drinking too much." Said, "that's the only way I knew to stop you. By Nettie, Skillet, that may be, but you just can't treat me that way. I'm going to leave." "Well, Doc," she said, "are you going to leave the farms?" "By Nettie, Skillet, you take the farms." "Doc, are you going to leave the thrashing machine?" "By Nettie, Skillet, you can have the thrashing machine." "What about the sawmill?" "By Nettie, Skillet, you keep the sawmill." "Doc, what about the telephone exchanges?" "By Nettie, Skillet, you take the telephone exchanges and take the kids." "By Nettie, Skillet, you can't treat me that way." It was the hot summertime. She had nothing on but a heel-cracking dress. She reached over and picked up the hem of that dress, raised it over her head. "Doc," she said, "are you going to leave this?" And dropped it. "By Nettie, Skillet," he said, "let me see that again." He didn't leave.
Shame on you, Tom.
What's the matter with that?
Shame on
you. One of the brothers was Uncle Porter. Uncle Porter Cheney, my grandfather's brother. My grandfather was Tom Cheney, as I am. And Uncle Porter was a preacher and the Jake Leg preacher and other things. And my Uncle Carl would come and take Uncle Porter fishing. And one day they were carrying off the god-awfulest mess of equipment, boats and everything else, over toward 300 Springs from the highway. And Carl's friend Finney looked back at Uncle Porter And Carl and Finney were loaded to the gills, and Uncle Porter had the can of coal oil. And they turned around, and Finney said to Carl, "Look yonder, Carl, and Uncle Porter's drinking out of the coal oil jug." It wasn't coal oil, after all. But now, there was a killing in Three Springs, and a man by the name of Clymer was accused of killing this other man. And they were trying him in Hart County. And Uncle Porter, my grandfather, and Trig Ennis, who lived over in Barron County, were called as character witnesses for the man who had done the killing. And the lawyer was summing up the court case. "Well," he said, "look yonder at who's been brought in here to testify of this man Clymer, and to say he wouldn't have killed except under provocation. There's Tom Cheney, a merchant in the community of Three Springs, a man who runs a Sunday school over there, a deacon in the Baptist church, and he says Clymer wouldn't kill except in self-defense. And there's Mr. Trig Ennis, come all the way over from the county of Barron to testify on behalf of his friend and neighbor Clymer, and he says the same. Clymer would not have killed if he hadn't been led to it. And yonder is old brother Porter Cheney, a minister of the gospel, highest calling on God's green earth, never knew the taste of liquor." And Trig Ennis could never whisper. And he nudged my grandfather and said, why, the old fool's got half pint of my best liquor in him right now." This one has to do with some of Paul's relatives. My grandfather's oldest brother, William, lived in a farm at Three Springs, just where you turn off 218 to go up toward center, a farm that was owned by John Atchler, who was president of this bank, John Atchler's father, younger John, was president of this bank. And I just learned that that farm was bought from Atchler. And Uncle Bill, William Cheney, and Uncle Bill had been instructing one of his neighbors about theft. He had told him not to steal any more apples out of his apple tree, and that dire circumstances would result if he did. He walked out of the house one morning, and yonder was this man breeding, clumb up in the apple tree, stealing apples. Uncle Bill went back in the house, got his rifle, drew a bead on Mr. Breeding, shot him. He fell out of the apple tree dead amongst the apples he had picked. He went over across the road to my grandfather's store. This was in 1888. Gave him the deed to the farm, took a horse and came to town, and bought a ticket to Texas and was never heard of again. So that's how my grandfather got his store. He married that fall and had he and my grandmother Susan had 11 children, 9 of whom lived to adultery. Now this story is not mine. I stole it so many years ago that the man from whom I stole it from is dead and gone, but he was a professor at seminary in Louisville. But that doesn't matter. Stories can be stolen. It's fair game unless you're caught at it. And he never caught me. Prophet Johnson. And it concerns a minister. Probably up in eastern Kentucky, but I like to think it was in Hart County. It might have been Uncle Porter, who had preached for years and years without ever preparing a sermon. He'd get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning, close his eyes, let his finger point on whatever scripture came to mind there, came when the Bible fell open, and therefrom he'd preach. He got up one Sunday morning, did the same thing, opened the Bible, closed his eyes, opened the Bible, and when he opened his eyes, his finger was on Song of Solomon 2:12. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. But he didn't know it. Brothers and sisters, he said, Our scripture today is from Song of Solomon 2:12. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, brothers and sisters, I've never seen this scripture before. So let's read it one more time. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, brothers and sisters, I still don't know what that scripture means, but I do know one thing. Last week, I was down on the banks of the creek in God's beautiful sunshine, and over yonder on a rock on yonder side of the creek was an old mud turtle. And as I approached that old mud turtle, brothers and sisters, he jumped in the creek. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that turtle, brothers and sisters, didn't just jump in with his head, not just with his neck, not just with his shell, not just with his tail, not just with his feet and legs. Brothers and sisters, that turtle jumped in head, neck, shell, tail, feet and all. And brothers and sisters, that am the proper mode of baptism.